Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He is the author of From Queer to Christ, and he is a very dear brother in Christ, a very good friend, and I'm so pleased to have him. I want to welcome George Carniel Jr. to the program. George, welcome. Good to have you with me in hour number two. Three. What number? What hour are we on? Hang on. Let me see. Nine. Yep. Hour number three. My goodness.
Okay. Good to be on, Greg. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot going on. I have talked a bit about biblical inerrancy this morning. I talked about that in my first hour. Talked about Westcott Hort. I think you and I have talked a little bit about that before, but it has to do with the argument about the King James only, which I didn't used to be like a KJV only kind of a guy, but I am and have been for a number of years now, and for some very specific reasons, one of which has to do with this issue of homosexuality, because the moving away from that and accepting, which the rest of these are built on Westcott Hort. Are you familiar with any of that stuff?
A little bit. I know that a lot of the translations are watering down the gospel and removing scripture. And like you, I now am a King James Version only. I don't know so much about the Westcott, but I will tell you, and don't quote me, but if I remember correctly, years ago, even when I was still in Los Angeles, I had done some research, and the Zondervan NIV, I understand, is published by HarperCollins, and HarperCollins happens to also publish the Satanic Bible and gay porn. So I really, just in addition to other...
Is that a problem?
Is that, I don't know why it would be a problem.
Is there an issue there? I don't, I'm not sure I follow. I'm sorry, George.
I just decided to stick with King James because I know there are other versions where they really are removing hundreds of scripture and watering it down and twisting it. So.
Well, remember the Matthew Vines Bible that came out.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. Which completely and totally decided to change the translation to basically justify, you know, the idea, well, you know, God made men and women, and I mean, you know, I had some Baptist scholars on a number of years back, and of course now the Southern Baptist Convention has just
compromised,
imploded. Yeah. And they wouldn't go there with me in the segment. But I said to them, because we were talking about how Matthew Vines opens up Genesis in his Bible, and he essentially rewords it to say that God was considering all manner of creatures to be Adam's mate, including animals.
Wow.
Including bestia. And I said this to them off air. And I said, look, if you go where this is headed, and they said, oh, we can't have that kind of conversation. And I'm thinking,
of course.
Well, wait a minute. Why wouldn't you point that out as a furtherance to why the Matthew Vines version is so bad? And, well, you know, well, now I understand why. Because here was Albert Mohler sitting at the top of that, and behind closed doors were, you know, where Project Veritas hadn't quite gotten yet. They were having conversations about the compromised word of God. And that becomes the issue. And here's the thing. And I'm sorry, I'm rambling on a little bit, but I've got a little extra time. So if I over ramble and you're able to stay, I'll give you extra time to talk. But here's the thing. We're not sitting here this morning saying, oh, we want to beat people up over sin. That's not the message. Mm-hmm. We want to call out those that are calling sin good, because sin kills. Sin is death. The homosexual lifestyle will ultimately lead you to absolute misery. I don't care what they tell you out in public, behind closed doors, in their own personal quiet. Suicide rates amongst homosexuals is enormous. And here's the thing to understand. They can no longer cloak it and hide it by saying, well, it's because we're being persecuted by whoever. 65% of the church says homosexuality is normal. Come on in. God loves you and your sodomite behavior. Okay? So that's no longer an issue.
Right.
It's every television program has a sodomite or a lesbian. Every movie has a sodomite or a lesbian. Every commercial, for God's sakes, almost has somebody doing something of a sexual perversion. There are hero characters now in children's books that are either lesbian or sodomite. Okay? So you can't say it has been as normalized as it can be, and they're pushing it on children at the age of 4 years old to suggest that Jimmy and Johnny ought to kiss one another so they can figure out if they like what it feels like. So it's not so to suggest that their suicide rates are because of mean people like me and George that are saying that it's sin. We are absolutely the minority when it comes to who's talking on the real big public stage. So why are they committing suicide, George? If everybody's, if the media is accepting them, if they're, I mean, you've got Don Lemon, right? Didn't Don Lemon come out? So Don Lemon is out there.
Anderson Cooper's
out there. Rachel, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, give me a break. They're all out there and they're all talking about it and they're all saying it's normal and they're all saying they're happy and what was his name, Michael? Whatever, the guy that went on to The View and talked about, you know, they said, well, how do you handle, you know, if you guys are having an affair? Well, I'm on one end and he's on the other. Who was that guy? You know I'm talking about?
I do, but I can't think of his name.
Yeah, Michael. Man. I want to say Michael. I don't remember now. I don't want to say the wrong name. But at any rate, right. The point of it is that this stuff, and then, now my wife sent me something. A video of a homosexual man saying he was sick to his stomach because he felt that homosexuals were being misrepresented in their own pride parades in New York, Los Angeles, and Dallas, where they were on floats naked having sex, which is exactly, by the way, which is exactly what I told you folks would be happening. I told you that was what they were going to do. I told you that's what they do. I told you that that is the behavior. I told you that Stonewall, from Selma to Stonewall, which is a video that is up on my Rumble page, is the truth about what actually happened at Stonewall and not the lies they want you to believe.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation in the LGBT community and coming out of that community and the media. And even though what you said, Greg, has a lot of common sense and facts behind it, they will still never admit it, that their sadness and sorrow has nothing to do with Christians. It really is, because they're doing something that God's word deems wickedness and an abomination. And they basically are not going to be happy until everyone just shuts up and accepts it. And even then, they're still not going to be happy. Because at the end of the day, they have nothing but sex. And you, and anyone who's been sexually active knows that, yes, it feels good in the moment, but after it's done and over with, okay, what do I do now? There's nothing left to do. And so you become addicted to the sex. And then so you have multiple and hundreds of partners. It's a given within the LGBT community, especially with gay men. And I myself am guilty of that. And I'm not proud of it, but I've slept with hundreds of men as well. But there is a drive or a need that...
It's an addiction.
There's a void that's not being filled. And until gay men especially understand that, they're going to keep going through this cycle. And at what point are you going to say, this is not working, this sex is not filling the void, how much partying, drugs, drinking, pornography can you do?
Right.
It's time to wake up and realize you're getting old, soon your looks are going to fall apart, nobody's going to want you. What is it that you are looking for in that life? There's nothing. And you're not going to ever have any peace and joy apart from having a relationship with Christ. God loves you. We are condemning the behavior. We're condemning all sin, including heterosexual sin.
Well, and
God loves the individuals.
And what we're saying is, this is the frustration to me. The ultimate frustration, George, is that we're not telling people that Jesus Christ actually is the answer to freedom from that sin.
Right.
Okay?
Exactly.
I don't care if you want to argue, well, somebody was born that way. There is no evidence of a gay gene. There is no evidence of that. But set all that aside, we're born with a sin nature and a sin problem that came into the life and existence of mankind through the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, period, end of story. We're all born with it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's not about comparing our sins. It's not about holding up a card and saying, well, I got the gold sin card. Which card did you get? It doesn't matter. Here's the real deal, man. The platinum card is the one that Jesus laid down that says, I paid for all of it.
Yep.
That's the card that matters. So, if you're all uppity about that, then why aren't you all uppity about women wearing pants? Give me a break. That's not even the argument. That's not even the conversation. The conversation is, this is sinful behavior, and Christ came so you can be free from it. Well, why can't you just love them the way they are? I'm not loving.
Right.
I'm not loving. We're in our final few seconds where we go into this first break, but I'm not loving. What I'm saying is that real love is to say where you're headed, you will be miserable.
Yep.
7 to 10 years out, these people that are cutting body parts off and changing and so forth, the studies are now showing 7 to 10 years out, the suicide rates are between 30% and 40%. My God. We need to address that by giving them some kind of hope. All right. Hold that thought, George. Back right after this.
I'm Tim Sheff, certified natural health practitioner. I want to introduce you to a product that I think will interest everyone. The product is called Natural Sleep, available at cgrwellness.com. I've been seeing clients in the alternative health industry for over 40 years. One common problem seems to stand out. People just can't sleep. Maybe it's too much stress. Maybe they've gotten older. Whatever the reason, we have a solution you need to get a great night's sleep. You can find it at cgrwellness.com. Natural Sleep uses a combination of vitamin, minerals, and some very healthy calming herbals to support relaxation and calmness before sleep. It's a fast-acting liquid formula that tastes great with no negative side effects or hangover effect in the morning. And it's non-habit forming. The product's available in a 16-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout, and get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code Chosen Gen Radio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Negro products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Everyone is being affected by higher prices at the pump. Maybe you've seen the meme where the man calls the police to say he's been robbed. Where did this robbery occur? The dispatcher asks. At pump number 7, says the man. Can you describe them? Sure, they had flashing lights and a long trunk. Unfortunately, the price of gas and diesel is no longer a laughing matter, and it's causing us all to have to rethink our lifestyles. We have an answer for you. Green Fuel Tabs. Green Fuel Tabs by Green Fuel Global are a fuel enhancer and conditioner that actually accelerates the combustion process, reduces emissions, and cleans the entire engine system without use of harmful detergents. Our products are EPA registered and have been used commercially for almost 2 decades. So stop getting gouged at the pumps. Just drop a Green Fuel Tab into your tank and save from 10 to 20% on your next tank of fuel. Head over to greenfueltabs.shop. That's greenfueltabs.shop. $2.50 will treat a 10-gallon tank. Get your order in today, drop a Green Fuel Tab in your tank, and start experiencing the savings.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA.
When I got MyPillow, I'm asleep almost immediately. I stay asleep at night, and I wake up more well-rested in the morning.
That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned. I'm interrupting this commercial to bring you my BOGO extravaganza. For example, you get one of my Giza Dream bed sheets and you get a second set absolutely free. Or my 6-piece towel sets. Buy one set, get another one absolutely free. Or get my classic premium MyPillow and get another one absolutely free. So call the number on your screen or go to MyPillow.com and use your promo code to get my buy one, get one free offers and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports 4 areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Negro products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
All right, welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio. Sorry about that, folks. I thought I was watching the clock, but I guess I wasn't. George Carneal Jr. is my guest. From Queer to Christ is the name of the book. And I was trying to find, there's a song, it was a big, it came out as kind of a big deal, but it was a young lady who had grown up very conservative, and basically she writes in her song about how when she was younger, she would have condemned the girl that she is now, because of her life choices now, which basically are she's come out as bisexual. And to the point of what we were talking about, George, is that, again, we're not hating on someone, but as you and I discussed going into the break, the ability to be able to have these candid conversations and address this and have it not turn into, well, you know, I don't think Jesus ever said, as if Jesus never talked about sin and Jesus never talked about this issue.
And with Jesus being God in the flesh, he, as God, discussed it in the Old Testament. Why does he need to rehash it again in the New Testament? Jesus doesn't specifically speak about pornography or spousal abuse, but does that mean it's okay? I mean, they will try to twist it and lift scriptures and make a whole new theology out of it. Anything to justify their sin. And I just don't understand Christians who support the agenda, because really, even with regard to the transgender issue, we know that God doesn't make mistakes. So when you are affirming this and saying, no, God did make a mistake and we are going to correct it, I mean, it's an assault on God's character, on his name, on his holiness. He's perfect. And I've said it before, Greg, there's no fear of God. They just absolutely do not stop to think about what judgment day is going to be like. I don't understand these woke Christians. And if you're somebody who supports the Democrat Party and their policies, and you've done it out of ignorance, that's one thing. Go to God and ask for forgiveness. But if you hear our words and you continue to support a party that is damaging the lives of so many children, you're going to answer to God for it. Understand, God has the final say. He is the final authority. And if your soul, if you want to play Russian roulette with your soul, have at it. But I'm imploring people to please wake up and realize they are damaging the lives of these children. I lived in the lifestyle 25 years. I know the pitfalls of that life, and what people are being told publicly is all a lie. And I have seen the casualties of so many people in that life. It's just time for people to wake up and stop this and start standing up against this agenda. Love the individuals, but hate the agenda.
Well, and I shared this. I actually wrote something to that effect on my page over the weekend. I love the lost. I love those that are living in sin, but I hate the consequences of their choices. And I hate their sin. And liars that assure them their sin is going to lead to anything but misery and death. I hate Satan with a perfect hatred, and I hate his deception and lies and agendas. I hate those that have chosen to be reprobate in their minds. They are wolves, and they are not the lost or merely the sinner. They are the ones committed to their God and in full hatred toward the one true God. Romans 1 describes them well. But John, who was described as the disciple whom Jesus loved and was most close to Jesus, his very best friend, said this: "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." I don't know how more clear it could be written and or described. God is love, and he loves us, and that never changes. But you don't get a pass to salvation because of his love. He loves us, and so he sent his son Christ to die for us, so that the old nature, which is leading us ultimately to destruction, can be destroyed, and we can be given a new nature through Christ's death, shedding of blood, which washes away, doesn't cover, but washes away our sin and leads us to righteousness.
And they conveniently leave out, yes, God is love, but God is also a God of wrath and judgment. And we see that all throughout God's Word. They conveniently leave that out as well. Unless people sit down and just really decide, I'm going to read God's Word, and whatever God says, that's going to be the final authority. And if the world is saying one thing and it goes against what God's Word says, you must absolutely know that God is the final authority. If people would just simply read the Word, they would really understand that they are being lied to. That's why it took me so long to get out of that life, because I was being fed so many lies from the liberal theologians and the Matthew Vines and all of those other individuals, and it really just ticked me off. And it wasn't until I actually sat down and read the Word that I realized they have been lying to us. That's why we are so miserable, because you're trying to find peace in it.
Hold that thought right there, because if you would stay, stay with me. We're going to come back. I really want you to talk about that, about what helped you to make that change? Because people need to understand that you lived this lifestyle for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This is, you were in that lifestyle. And we'll be back to talk about that coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Nega products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Everyone is being affected by higher prices at the pump. Maybe you've seen the meme where the man calls the police to say he's been robbed. Where did this robbery occur? The dispatcher asks. At pump number 7, says the man. Can you describe them? Sure, they had flashing lights and a long trunk. Unfortunately, the price of gas and diesel is no longer a laughing matter, and it's causing us all to have to rethink our lifestyles. We have an answer for you. Green Fuel Tabs. Green Fuel Tabs by Green Fuel Global are a fuel enhancer and conditioner that actually accelerates the combustion process, reduces emissions, and cleans the entire engine system without use of harmful detergents. Our products are EPA registered and have been used commercially for almost 2 decades. So stop getting gouged at the pumps. Just drop a Green Fuel Tab into your tank and save from 10 to 20% on your next tank of fuel. Head over to greenfueltabs.shop. That's greenfueltabs.shop. $2.50 will treat a 10-gallon tank. Get your order in today. Drop a Green Fuel Tab in your tank and start experiencing the savings.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I want to give each and every one of you one last chance to get my original My Slippers. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code and you'll get your very own My Slippers for only $49.98. That's $90 off and the biggest savings ever. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive 4-layer design that you won't find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra-comfortable, extremely durable, and they help reduce stress on your feet. Not only that, they come with an indoor-outdoor sole, so you can wear them anytime, anywhere. I guarantee they'll be the most comfortable slippers you'll ever own. And now you can get them for the best savings ever, only $49.98. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now to get your very own My Slippers for only $49.98. That's $90 off. We have extremely low quantities, and once they're gone, they're gone. So order now.
Everyone is being affected by higher prices at the pump. Maybe you've seen the meme where the man calls the police to say he's been robbed. Where did this robbery occur? The dispatcher asks. At pump number 7, says the man. Can you describe them? Sure, they had flashing lights and a long trunk. Unfortunately, the price of gas and diesel is no longer a laughing matter, and it's causing us all to have to rethink our lifestyles. We have an answer for you. Green Fuel Tabs. Green Fuel Tabs by Green Fuel Global are a fuel enhancer and conditioner that actually accelerates the combustion process, reduces emissions, and cleans the entire engine system without use of harmful detergents. Our products are EPA registered and have been used commercially for almost 2 decades. So stop getting gouged at the pumps. Just drop a Green Fuel Tab into your tank and save from 10 to 20% on your next tank of fuel. Head over to greenfueltabs.shop. That's greenfueltabs.shop. $2.50 will treat a 10-gallon tank. Get your order in today. Drop a Green Fuel Tab in your tank and start experiencing the savings.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Hey, folks, welcome to the program. Good to have you with me. Hang on a minute. Dr. Christian Widener is going to join us. George will be back with us on Thursday, and we'll really get... give him a whole half hour to really get into what we were talking about in our segment with regards to what it was that helped him to come out of that homosexual lifestyle. All right. There we go.
All right. Let me switch over.
I'm going to hang up with you on the phone, and we'll make the connection. Okay. So Dr. Christian Widener is going to be joining us here in just a second. His audio is loading.
All right.
And there we go. Excellent. And greetings, sir. Howdy. This may be the first time that we've seen each other face to face. Maybe.
I think this is the first time we've Zoomed, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, good to have you with me. Well, I was talking in the last segment, and I'm so glad that you were able to jump on, because I was talking with George Carniel about the whole LGBTQ issue. And a big part of the argument that I get from that community is, and from others that are advocates, is, well, okay, but you know what? Paul was a homophobe. The Bible's not inerrant. There's no such thing as absolute truth, and so on and so on and so on and so on. And so as I was getting ready for the program this morning, getting ready to, you know, have some conversation about that particular issue, because, well, I'll talk about that more after the break. But let me get into this conversation that I wanted you and I to talk about, and that is the evidences. And one of the things I did talk about, I want to just preface you with, I think you and I have talked about this a little bit before, I'm a KJV kind of guy. I didn't used to be, but I am, Textus Receptus and so on, because I've done a lot of studying into Westcott Hort and the perversion of what that did and the Vaticanists and so on and so forth, and how that has opened up the door for them to suggest, well, there's different translations and different this and different that, and so there can be different interpretations. And I guess the question is archaeologically, by studying Dead Sea Scrolls, by all the study that you've done, is there evidence sufficient to prove that the Bible, that there is a true path of translation for Scripture, and that the Bible is true, reliant, inerrant, that we can count on Scripture?
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. I think the Bible is one of the most studied books that the world's ever, it is the most studied book, actually, the world's ever had. And so you think nothing has been prodded and poked more than the Bible and tested. And there have been periods where people have wondered over certain aspects of the Bible. And so for that period, the argument has reigned, you know, that, oh, maybe there wasn't really a David, or there wasn't a Solomon, or it wasn't a Pilate. But every time people try to hold that stance, sooner or later, archaeological evidence says, oh, nope, here we've got evidence for that.
There he is.
But, you know, so it's every argument that's ever been brought up that stood for any length of time eventually falls. And there are always arguments against, you know, from silence, things that we just haven't found yet. But no one wants to, you know, flip it around and say, okay, so what's your, you know, standard of truth? And what do you hold up then as what's reliable for people to hold on to? And there's nothing that's even close. So when you talk about, if you take away the Bible, you take away divine revelation, we are seriously left with only man's opinion and some smart guy arguing against some other smart guy. And you have no truth. And so in a postmodern world, that's true, except, I mean, it's true that there's no truth within man, right? Within this world, subjectively, that we can define ourselves, because everything's opinion. But the Scriptures give us something outside of man, something that's completely objective and reliable. And every time, again, that it's been tested, you know, everything that I've looked into personally, there's an answer. It's just, do you trust it? Do you believe God? And if we believe God, right, then we have the chance to know him. We have the chance to, you know, to come into relationship with him. But when we close ourselves off from that, we leave ourselves, you know, at man's mercy, right, whatever we can figure out. And it's not a pretty sight.
When we talk about, for example, you've done a lot of archaeological type research and looked into, you know, I mean, your most recent book, you know, deals with the end times issues and where we are in that timeline, and kind of working to explain what many refer to as Daniel's lost week. And then you've also done the research as it relates to the temple and identifying actually where the temple would be built, and that the mosque that is sitting up there right now doesn't interfere with the actual positioning of the actual temple.
Yeah, the area is open where the temple really needs to be rebuilt.
Right.
And there's not a block like people have thought with the Dome of the Rock in Al-Aqsa.
And so as you look at those, parchments come into play?
Yeah.
The New Testament has, I believe, something along the lines of like 20,000 confirmed parchments. Compared to, for example, Iliad's Homer that has, I think, 430-some-odd parchments. I mean, as you said, there's no book that's been more studied or more criticized and therefore had a greater need to be validated than the Bible. The Old Testament seems to be more well-established because Jewish history is pretty rock solid.
Yeah, and the Dead Sea Scrolls really give us a even before, you know, a BC, 100 BC, you know, 200 BC type time frame of documents, which are some of the oldest documents that we've been able to uncover.
And now, some say, for example, with regards to the age of documents, some attempt to point to some of the Westcott Hort version and say, well, the Alexandrian version is older than Textus Receptus, so it ought to be the one that we ought to look at. But then what we look at is we look at accuracy, and Textus Receptus is 90-some-odd percent, I think 99% accurate in all of its parchments versus the Alexandrian that tends to be maybe 50%. It's kind of a 50-50 shot, one parchment to another. Am I making sense?
Yeah, right. And some of those things are... Well, we have to look at, in that time period, that's also where a lot of Christian heretics were coming from. And so, while it's older, there is this dubious sort of tradition. I mean, you know, we have a faith that is to be handed down from one, you know, person to the next.
Sure.
So this is, you know, from the disciples all the way till today, some faithful traditions that have been handed down. But along the way, man also invents his own, right? And he gets his own ideas, and so those have to be purified and compared back to the scriptures themselves. That's how we judge. And we know that there were a lot of bad ideas that were starting to get introduced in the church out of Alexandria. And so there is a question about the reliability of those texts.
And Paul actually addresses that issue in Acts chapter 20 when he says, I'm now going to Jerusalem. I won't be back. I've warned you for 3 years that there's going to be perversions going to take place. And that there are not only are these perversions going to come from outside, but there are even those within right now that are trying to create a perverted idea or a different gospel. Paul warns again in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, bear with me in a little folly, and this I know that you will. There are those that are going to give you a gospel that I didn't give you. Don't accept it. Don't believe it. All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We come back, Dr. Christian Weiner, endtimesberean.com is the website, endtimesberean.com. We'll be back with Dr. Christian right after this brief break.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the waters. God bless you and keep us in your prayer. And this pastor is, Pastor Jackie has been doing the ministry here in this village. And really this village is a really in a big need of a church building. Keep us in prayer. God bless you. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Schaff, certified natural health practitioner. I want to introduce you to a product that I think will interest everyone. A product called Natural Sleep, available at cgrwellness.com. I've been seeing clients in the alternative health industry for over 40 years. One common problem seems to stand out. People just can't sleep. Maybe it's too much stress. Maybe they've gotten older. Whatever the reason, we have a solution you need to get a great night's sleep. You can find it at cgrwellness.com. Natural Sleep uses a combination of vitamin, minerals, and some very healthy calming herbals to support relaxation and calmness before sleep. It's a fast-acting liquid formula that tastes great with no negative side effects or hangover effects in the morning. And it's not a habit forming. The product's available in a 16-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout, and get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code Chosen Gen Radio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Negro products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ, spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
You know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. My very special guest, Dr. Christian Widener. Dr. Widener, let's talk about this issue of the age of translation and the significance of that. There were some things you were pointing out that you wanted to make sure that we brought into this segment. Let me let you go ahead and take the mic and talk about those things.
Sure. Yeah, so when we talk about the accuracy and reliability of the scriptures that we have today, there's two things. One are these ancient texts preserving the Hebrew and the Greek. And there are questions over, you know, those are hand copied. If something was damaged, you know, also you're going to future copies of that damage, that's the only copy they had, which was often the case. You know, sometimes you have errors or omissions that can pass through. But we have so many copies that we're able to really go back and look and understand what the text was. But the second problem is, do we question whether we really know what those Greek and Hebrew words actually meant at the time that they were written?
Okay.
And the beautiful thing of having so many texts and also so many translations of those texts over the last 2,000 years is we have this continuous record of translations in all these different epochs. And so you can go back and you can really prove that, you know, that word in Hebrew or Greek means something. It means a particular thing, and that we've always understood over the last 2,000 years in all the ways it's been translated that that's basically what it meant. So that gives us a lot of reliability that we're not just making up these meanings.
Now, one of the issues, and folks, I'm going to post this Westcott Hort article here, so you'll be able to see it a little bit later on today. But one of the issues relative to that was you have these guys that actually decided to create their own Greek lexicon and then assign definitions to these Greek words based on their understanding of what, I don't know, whatever, wherever they pulled their information from to think. And it reminds me a lot of Wikipedia, who just came out and basically said that the dictionary is not reliable and the dictionary is only going to tell you a definition predicated on what the writer or the creator of that particular dictionary believes, but it's actually still up for debate.
Yeah. Words certainly have some, you know, they have a connotation and a denotation. The denotation is what it actually, you know, specifically means.
Right.
Connotation is how people feel about it. And so we've had that through time, that words have shifted slightly in how they're meaning or how they're used. But they follow those epochs, and in those you know, centuries where words are used, the words are used commonly in other languages. Even that's how we understand the Greek, is because we don't just have the Greek scriptures; we also have the Koine Greek of the day in ancient times to read and to study. And so you can see across a people group how they use language, and those are really the references for learning. These are not subjective things, they're objective in that there's evidence for a position that someone might take on what does that mean. And it's, they want to soften that so that they can make anybody be able to read the scriptures to believe whatever they want to believe.
Which is also, when we talk about historical accuracy, you know, we look at the historical accuracy of scripture, but then we look at the writings of someone like Josephus, right? And some of the other writers of that period that wrote about those events that are documented in scripture. And what we discover is that their historical writings are in perfect alignment, or at least give the same kind of narrative, if you will, as what's written in the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's cases where Josephus is sort of retelling the stories of Scripture in his own words, and maybe mixing in a little bit of Jewish oral tradition as well. But absolutely, it follows the biblical account. Clearly, he believes the biblical account, and he's affirming it, but in his own unique words.
Like the crucifixion of Christ and then the story of the resurrection of Christ, Josephus writes about both of those issues.
Yeah, and so there's, on the subject of Christ, there's also this secular sort of, or non-scriptural validation that he was indeed a real person who lived in Judea, died, and we have the sort of observational evidence that, wait, you mean a carpenter from a small tiny town in Nazareth 2,000 years ago has transformed the world, and nobody thinks that that's not extraordinary? Right? Of course, like, you know, if God walked among men, and, you know, no matter where it was, he would transform the world. And that's exactly what somebody who, you know, there are no other Nazarenes, right, who transformed the world, just Jesus. And he would have transformed the world from wherever he came. But God chose a very specific place for him to be born, a specific place for him to grow up, and a specific place for him to die for the sins of the world. And that was Jerusalem.
And so going back to, again, the proving up and the archaeological provings and so forth of the inerrancy and the accuracy of Scripture, you continue to study more and more of those things, and you have really kind of made that your life's work at this point. As
yep.
you look at those things, Dr. Christian, what would you say to someone that is, I don't know, pondering that issue, challenged with that issue, or being challenged with that issue? What are some truths that you would share with them to help steady their resolve?
Well, one thing to start with is, you know, we have this idea that scholars are all, you know, perfect geniuses. And when we take, you know, worldly scholarly opinion and we put it up against the Bible, you know, and we try to weigh those two things, in a lot of people's minds, a scholarly opinion wins over the revelation of God.
Okay.
Which means that we're calling God a liar, and we're calling man, you know, the one who's telling the truth and who's exposing this. And the Scriptures tell us that, you know, it's going to be the opposite, right? Every man's going to be proven a liar, and God will be shown to be true. And so there is a faith piece that's needed. Do you believe God? You know, for Abraham, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a certain faith piece, because no matter what, like, you put your faith in the scholar, or you put your faith in God. Because most people can't understand all the arguments of the scholar. And certainly we can't understand everything that's revealed in Scripture. I mean, there are little mysteries. There are things that are revealed over time. There are things that are too deep for us. Even if one person understands it, maybe another person doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with those gaps? And if we don't have, if there's not a faith that we believe that God is who he is, and we believe him that he's given us this word, that it was inspired, right? For all Scripture is God breathed, right? And useful for teaching and instruction and training in righteousness. Without that foundation, we have nothing to stand on. And we're left with just human opinion. And human opinion is going to disappoint us. Look how often on any subject, human opinion changes. Like, eat eggs, don't eat eggs. Red meat's bad, no, red meat's good. Right? I mean, there's so many, you know, it's just this constant barrage of changing. You know, the science has changed is a new thing that people are saying when more evidence comes out and proves that the scientists were wrong. I mean, this happens almost on a daily basis. So where can we put our confidence? I would say that the Bible has been tested over all these years, and every time eventually it comes out, the evidence is found to hold it up and show that it's true. How much more evidence do we need before we're going to go, okay, hey, even if I can't find the answer today, I'm still going to believe God. Well, I'm not going to believe man.
And just to close this out, I think that our you know, the most recent truth of that was, and Dr. Judy Mikovits talked about this in my program, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, but they've actually discovered what they call a God gene. In other words, it's the gene of life. And it is actually what brings a human being to life. And no matter how hard they've tried in laboratories, they can't duplicate that particular God gene. And without that God gene, life doesn't happen. And it's just, and it's part of the discovery that you know, leads to the understanding of the uniqueness of when life comes to be in the womb, because that God gene appears, and it happens, you know, pretty much, you know, right after conception. All of a sudden, here comes this gene that appears, and boom, now you have life. And it's just incredible. Dr. Christian, thanks for jumping on today. I greatly appreciate it. And you know, I want to encourage your book's in the other room. But give me the name of your new book.
Witnessing the End: Daniel's 77s and the Final Decree Everyone Missed. And there are some amazing things that have happened to point to the fact that these are truly prophetic times, and I hope it helps get people ready for the return of the Lord.
And you can find it at endtimesberean.com. And then the book you wrote right before that
is The Temple Revealed. Right. And I have a copy of that, but it's about the true location of the Jewish temple, hidden in plain sight, and how providentially the open area on the Temple Mount where the temple should be has been left available for building up until this time, and sort of, you know, kept from sight, but I think soon will be recognized.
Well, and when you take that into account with your most recent book talking about, you know, again revealing that final Daniel week and just the evidences that exist that would lead one to believe that, man, oh man, folks, you better make sure, as I used to say to my congregation in California, you better get your ticket punched. Okay?
Yeah.
It's time to get your ticket punched. All right, Christian.
Time to trim the wicks and get extra oil.
Amen to that, brother. All right, yeah. Don't go into Christian. Folks, I got to jump off. God bless you. Be sure and stay tuned here on TECNTV.com. Sandra Witten and Texas Fully Loaded is coming up in about 58 minutes. And I know a lot of you have been enjoying her program. We're so excited for that. We're excited to have her with us, and also excited as well to welcome another brand new program. And we are excited to welcome Serena Smith is coming to TECN-TV as well very soon. Encourage you to get familiar with that as well. And Suzanne Monk has Citizens Constitution course that you can take as well. It's 6 1-hour online classes. Again, you can find all of that at TECNTV.com. Continue to watch us at the TECNTV.com player there at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. And we encourage you to stay tuned for more coming up. I'll be back. Remember, at the end of the day, God has given us a specific plan and purpose for our lives. And at the end of the day, he's going to ask you, what did you do with what I called you to do?
At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, what did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say, the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation. And I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good. And Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest.